Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, any and all listeners who may be listening anywhere live at this time for this podcast, this unscheduled podcast. The first one I've done in quite a while now, the first one I've done since sometime last July. In any case, welcome to Shut Up and Listen. I'm your host, The Voice, broadcasting on this November 21st, 2015, live for now, out of New York City. And just in case anyone is listening, in case anyone live is listening, of course you can't call in once it's a podcast and people are listening to it later, you can't do it, but in case anyone's listening and cares to call in, you can reach me at area code 714-816-4604. Let me do that again. That's area code 714-816-4604. Well, as I said in the opening and the intro, it's been since July. It's November now, and we're past the halfway point of November, and it was the halfway point of July, somewhere around that time, that I did the last one of these broadcasts. And, of course, a lot of water has gone under the bridge since then, and the same water just keeps flowing right on by, and I just don't know where to start. There's some topics I could talk about that are long gone and long forgotten, but they're on some people's psyche or on most people's psyche somewhere, but I guess most people would expect to hear you dredge up the more recent stuff. But there are a few things that resonate with me even after all this time, because there are things that I feel that have cultural impact. And you can talk about these things no matter what time of year it is or when these events have passed or not. I mean, of course, there's always world politics and there's cultural change. And there's always these things that impact on what we see or what people do, you know, like pop culture or people just going on and getting tattoos or talk shows or reality shows or all the things that just seem to be never ending. And so from September to now, even, it's just been one big wow. And you know, sociocultural stuff has happened in drones. I mean, I can't remember all of the events or changes or attitudes that tweaked my brain cells. There were things that I wanted to make topics for a podcast over the last couple of months, but sadly, unforgivably, I would get unmotivated and let yet another week go. But since I am here now, I figured I could capsulize my viewpoints and opinions on a number of things that have occurred over these past weeks, or maybe in these past months, but it's mostly these past weeks. You know what I figured? I figured that at best, I can give what the late, great broadcast journalist Paul Harvey used to call, and I quote, "a potpourri of today's news," unquote. And while I didn't quite have that stentorian voice he had, or that media noticeable baritone, and that harsh kind of baritone that he had, I can still give a bunch of news vignettes, which is what he did, and I listened to him a lot when I was a kid without even necessarily listening to him, but he would be on in my grandfather's house where I grew up and before I grew up there, would be there as a kid, you know, up at his house, and I would hear this on the radio. But anyway, while I'm on it, does anyone among the listeners even know of Paul Harvey? Have they even heard of Paul Harvey? Well, Paul Harvey was a radio journalist, and he also was a newsprint journalist. And he did news every day. And he would just elaborate on the news real quick and jump from one story to the next, as he called it, a potpourri of the day's news. And he didn't spend an inordinate amount of time on any story. And he would jump from one story, and he would go on to the next, and just read things the same way you might read a small article in a paper or in a magazine, a footnote or something that happened. And a lot of it was really important stuff. And a lot of it was amusing anecdotes. He did all of these things for years. And while I never did really read his articles at the time, I used to hear him on TV, radio, as a kid. And I thought he had this harsh voice. I thought, you know, he had this staccato delivery, which reminded me of only one other person at that time, and that was another journalist and columnist in broadcast media and news media, and that was Walter Winchell. And once again, I don't think a lot of people here even know or have heard of him. I'm sure there are others who have heard of him. He had that baritone staccato voice. But Paul Harvey had this voice, and he would talk. And when I was a kid, I wasn't sure whether he was admonishing people, yelling at people. He had this voice. It was so hard and baritone and direct and harsh. And what I used to do, from what I understand, is I used to sit under the dining room table and imitate Paul Harvey. And I remember he would exit the show, his show, at the end of his broadcast, which came on around noon sometime during the day. It was syndicated. And he would say, "Paul Harvey, good day." And I used to do that. And I heard about doing this all the time when I was a kid. Anyway, he had a show later on that was good. I enjoy that. That was into the, during the 90s, and I forget when he died, sometime here in this century, called The Rest of the Story. And he would give you these stories and would tell you exactly who he was talking about. He would surprise you at the end with who he would be talking about or what he would be talking about at the end. And you learn some things about people historically that you had no idea of. You know, for instance, he talked about, I can't remember the person in question, and somebody came calling on his daughter, and there was something on him that on the suitor of the man's daughter that turned the father off. That's what it was. And only the lowliest of people at that time, the street types, the hoodlums, all of this, wore that. And it turns out he was talking about a wristwatch. Now, that's one thing, but some of the other things, it turns out he was talking about people. It was full of surprise. I enjoyed the show immensely right up until his death, and I missed him. And the only reason I'm mentioning him now is because I'm wanting to give a series of vignettes or quick little stories, because I don't have enough time, and there are too many things. I could have a 20-hour broadcast if I could hold anybody's interest that long about what we're going through on this planet, in this society, and other societies right now. However, I just used Paul Harvey as a reference for the whole potpourri, as he would call it, of today's news. And what I'm doing, anyway, as to what I'm doing, it's not an assortment of today's news. And when I say today, I mean today or yesterday, you know, that exact chronology. But it's, you know, an assortment of events over the last few weeks, one of which, what seems to be this society's increasing enthusiasm, and this is something I wanted to talk about back then, when I go back to referencing my non-motivation, when I go back to talking about the things that I wanted to talk about, and I never got up to get up and go, shame on me, the initiative, or sometimes I was too preoccupied to set up a broadcast to talk about it. But as far back as I'm going to go is as far back as the last day of October, Halloween. And why I want to talk about Halloween briefly is because we seem to have an increasing enthusiasm for Halloween. I mean, I understand it was for adults when it was the pagan-based Samhain, that's what it was called, festival of centuries past, back in Scotland and Ireland and the like, based on keeping the demons and the like at bay. You know, and a great deal of other things that the whole ritual represented. I read quite a bit about the origins of All Hallows Eve. I mean, that's what it's called. We as kids, we didn't know that. We just knew Halloween. We didn't know where it came from. We didn't know where it came from how it got there, why it was there. But, you know, like I say, I read about the origins of All Hallows Eve, and I can't at this moment dredge up any of the info right now. But what I do know is that popular culture and the media, entertainment media, marketing media, and retail marketing have gone way over the top, and I mean way over the top, endorsing it as a straight-up genuine holiday. I mean, I don't remember as a kid seeing TV shows where, I mean, you had shows that were Halloween-based sitcoms and all of that, sure, generally around the kids, and Halloween parties. I mean, I went to one, maybe two Halloween parties in my youth, and when I say youth, I mean, you know, as a young man, grown, you know, man in my 20s. But, you know, I see TV shows now. I see talk shows. I see regular sitcoms, and you'll see it in the dialogue now. And they'll talk about it as a straight-up holiday and have lines like, well, you know, Halloween is my favorite holiday. And I'm saying, huh? What? Your favorite holiday? Your Halloween? Halloween is a favorite holiday? No? I mean, okay, if it's becoming more and more and more holiday-like, which is more than apparent when you look at it in stores, when you look at it on TV, it's becoming more and more holiday apparent. But for people to start to chalk it up as their favorite holiday. And, you know, we knew Halloween as a kid, even though we didn't know what Halloween meant, let alone until a bit later what trick-or-treat meant. During my youth, I pulled a mischievous trick or two, you know, in my junior high years, or maybe my freshman year in high school. And while, you know, it has Halloween, I'm talking about, while it has been part of our culture for a long time, I've never before seen it reach the level of cultural popularity. Oh, God, I'm getting tired, Tone. Guess I'm getting excited talking about it. But, you know, I've never seen it reach the level of what I'm trying to say, cultural popularity, that it's now at. And I'll tell you, to me, and a lot of people, if they're listening, or if a lot of people listen to the podcast later, they'll say, what the heck is he talking about? Where does he get this information? How can he verify this? How can he opinionate on this? But that's okay, I will. That's why the show is called Shut Up and Listen. And I want you to shut up and listen about how I feel about this. And what I was saying, to tell you the truth, and I think I'm always telling you the truth, at least from the way I see it here. So, I mean, otherwise I would think I'm lying to you otherwise, but no. To me, that's a little bit of something sinister about our fascination with it and the way it resonates on society now, you know? As I say, it's going way over the top, and I know it's a fun holiday for kids and all of that. I used to love it as a kid. I didn't always go out trick-or-treating, but those times I did, I kind of enjoyed it. Sometimes it was a success. Sometimes it was a bust. And by the time I got in high school, it was pretty much over, except sometimes just out hanging with two or three of the guys, but, you know, not really trick-or-treating. We just didn't do that by that time, or at least we didn't. And, you know, it, you know, eventually changed where, you know, it just ran out at all, except just to be out like we would like to be out on any given night. And, of course, by that time in high school, a lot of the guys that would be out were looking for mischief of a different level anyway. You know, I mean, guys were doing some pretty bad things at times. Some, it depends on who they were and the kind of people who had that kind of proclivity for that kind of behavior in the first place. So Halloween was just another excuse to even ramp that up, breaking windows, flattening tires, all those things that they used to do, going out looking for a fight, things of that sort. Well, you know, we had those kind of people, and like I say, people who had the proclivity for doing that kind of thing back then. You know, Halloween just gave it more vent, an opportunity to vent, and gave them more of an opportunity to perpetrate those kind of actions. But, you know, I think back, and, you know, the musical artist, performer, R&B, pop, blue-eyed soul, Daryl Hall. You know, he has this show on TV called Live from Daryl's House, and he had one Christmas episode 1 year. And he always had a dialogue before the show started. And in reference to the Christmas episode and in reference to Christmas period, he said he always found something a little creepy about Christmas, you know, and there was something underlying sinister about it. And once again, just like the people saying, oh, Halloween is my favorite holiday now, you know, or my favorite holiday. And I said, huh, what the? Well, when he said that about Christmas, about it being something underlying sinister and something slightly creepy about it, I again said, huh? And I don't know what he sees as creepy in Christmas. I mean, and admittedly, he doesn't know what it is that makes him feel that way either. He just does, according to him. Now, a lot of people can have negative feelings about Christmas, like loneliness, heartbreak, cynicism about the commercialism of it, a number of things, you know, the hectic pace of shopping, just all the things that can be attendant with Christmas. But I've never heard anyone refer to it as creepy. I mean, I've never heard anyone refer to it as creepy or, you know, at its base, sinister or anything of that sort. I'll tell you what it is creepy about Christmas is it being increasingly changed from the word Christmas to the word holiday, to happy holiday, to Christmas times. You know, people, happy holidays, or a holiday tree instead of a Christmas tree. Now, to me, the people who are wanting to change it and who want to subvert it, whether you're a Christian or not, the purpose of the name Christmas and a holiday still, in spite of how it started, you know, and who created the idea for Christmas, the purpose of it, right down to the name, still adheres to one thing, one person. You know who it is. This is not a religious program here, but you know what it is supposed to be all about. And while people want to change that, it's creepy. So that's pretty much where I am with Halloween and how I segued into the whole attitude about Christmas, too. Now, while we're on the subject of what's creepy, let's talk about, excuse me, I coughed a little bit. Let's talk about Ara Ara and HH. Now, who I'm talking about is Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm. And for those of you who have just arrived here from some galaxy far, far away, Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm are two female MMA, mixed martial arts fighters. Now, Ronda Rousey, being the most popular one, I'm assuming, I mean, I'm not a big fan of any of this, you know, I mean, she's the one I hear about the most all the time. Ronda Rousey being the most popular one, anyway, Holly Holm opened up a can of whoopee on Ronda Rousey last week, or this week. And something I've been seeing on TV a bit lately, not the fight itself, but the results of the fight, as well as some photos of the fight. And because it came apparently as a surprise to some people, and apparently to Ronda Rousey herself, since some people were thinking about her not being around, or is she licking her wounds, there's been a lot of post-fight talk, and they both get a lot of media fanfare. So, what's so creepy or slightly off-kilter? Love that term, off-kilter. So, you know, anyway, so what's slightly off base about that? Well, for me, it's like this. There is, to me, something wrong about people wanting to see two women beat the hell out of each other. Okay, here I go again. Here I go, shut up and listen. This is my viewpoint. And people can call, or if they're listening, they can write a comment later, even if you aren't able to call. If you happen to pick up this podcast later, throw a comment in there. That's a comment section on your computer. You can call me anything you want, but this is the way I feel about it. You can beg to differ with me, but there's something wrong about people wanting to see two women beat each other silly. Now, there's about a million different ways you can take this toward. or take this forward. I mean, you know, as far as that's concerned, let's get real. Women should be able to defend themselves. To be in physical shape, women should be in physical shape if they're able to. But in a man-hardened world, and this has and always is and always has been, even though it's starting to probably, if you look closely at the picture, it's starting to change. But in this man-hardened world, they didn't represent something weaker. And this is what I think got lost in transportation. Gee, what are you, lost out there in the street? Come on. Come on, voice. This is something that didn't get, I mean, it got lost in translation. Somehow, to not be like a man, to be a woman, is not to be weaker. It's not to be weaker, but something different. Another part of life. You know, something even more cerebral. You know? I mean, it's right in there to me with women doing this, like the two rangers. And yeah, rangers lead the way. And you have the two female rangers. Two women that just passed the ranger course, and they're the first women, you know, combat rangers. You know, ranger with covert, deep insertion, special ops, all of that. I don't know what they're going to be doing in there. But it's a strong, it made a strong argument for women in combat roles. But, you know, in this world, ever increasing kick-ass females, we seem in some way weakening instead of strengthening women, in my viewpoint. What makes or made women special was that they were different from men in a male world. I always thought the femme fatale was more powerful than a tough-as-nails babe. That's the fact. And, you know, that's because women were women, and they can wield power. And they can be in positions to order things, and they can be in positions to run things. But to be the alpha male image that we seem to be wanting to progress to more, I don't care if you see it in movies, or think of all the movies you see. I'm not going to name any. But if you think of the movies and the TV shows now, you're starting to see women in places they should be, and at the same time, in places that really makes them more alpha, and saying, this is the idea of strength in a woman, when, ladies and gentlemen, it is not. The idea of strength in a woman was being a woman, and she knew how to use that. She knew how to wield that, and she knew how to nurture and cultivate that. And I don't mean being some kind of lady sort. I mean she just knew how to be a woman and powerful. I'm not going to use that old cliche from that song, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, because eventually Hear Me Roar became the head of the pride, the lion, you know. And anyway, I'm slipping here. But anything but that physically aggressive alpha male lifestyle is appealing to me in women. It's enough that some social observers, and I mean, I've heard this for a few years now on radio. I've heard men journalists talk about it. I've heard female journalists talk about it. Okay, a lot of them are right wing, I admit. And there have been some left wing, and there's some straight down the middle like me who don't. Well, I'm giving you my socio-political or socio-cultural sensibilities. Those who are neither left nor right, I go for whichever side makes sense based on what I hear when I hear it. But, as I said, it's enough that some social observers have said that we're coming to a point where men are ashamed to be men in the pure sense they used to be associated with. If male athletes are male athletes, then it's a testosterone-laced display. But if women kick and knock each other wacko, it's female power. Now, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. And if we don't put it in context, you're going to have even more when you talk about domestic abuse of men beating on women. You're going to have people going to come up and give you the argument. Why are you making such a big deal? Because I beat this woman up. Women can arrest you now. Women can fly fighter jets. Women do all the jobs men do. Women are just like us. So what makes them special if they can't beat up? You're going to have some simpleton that's going to give that argument. one fine century or one fine decade, one fine year, whatever. And somebody is going to turn around and say, you know, they may be right. What is the difference now between one and the other? Because we're already in a world where they say, ah, your mother wears combat boots. And then people say, well, yes, as a matter of fact, she does. And she's got a pretty nice dragon tattoo down one bicep and a saber on the other arm. You know, I mean, hey, all that looks good, too. So, yes, my mother wears combat boots. That's going to be where, I mean, it's already at that. But, you know, you've got to be careful of a double standard. But anyway, on the one hand, we talk about male testosterone and all of that. And there we see the alpha female agenda. And, you know, hey, it's like female power. And that's bull, boys and girls. Women are special. Not weaker, but special. And I think somewhere that got lost when we were on our quest for equal rights for women, which was a good thing. But somehow, way back when, the translation of what women power or women rights got lost. That having been said, and down to the last 3 minutes of this broadcast, one of the last things I wanted to talk about, because the big story and what has happened in Paris with the terrorists and all, I'm not going to be able to get to now. And I might not be able to get to it next week for the simple reason I wanted to do the show live on Thursday. Thursday is Thanksgiving, unless I can do it live on Thursday. If anybody's going to be listening, I might do it live then. But I will be doing another podcast next week. That much I'm fairly certain about, or this coming week I'll be doing another one. But in the meantime, the campus unrest that's taking place now, it started with the University of Missouri, and now there's one or two other campuses, and you've always had these organizations, you know. It started in the 60s or the 70s. You go back to the revolutionary lace days, and all of the output and the pride and the power movements and all of that. I knew about all of this, too. I wasn't on campus then. I was primarily in the Army then and all this. But, I mean, you know, I come from that era. And while I didn't adhere to all the politics necessarily of that era, I didn't get in lockstep with a lot of the stuff I heard back then, you know. I mean, as far as that's concerned. I don't know what precipitated the charges against the president of the campus at the University of Missouri that led to the black student whose name I can't think of right now. And note, I said black, not African-American. I said black. I will continue to say that. That's another topic which I have talked about before. I'll talk about it again. But anyway, to get on past that, I don't know what precipitated the situation leading to him having going on a hunger strike. And once again, I don't know who started what with who. And it might be, now that we see University of Illinois, a white student union has formed. And, you know, this is a shame because this was the first generation out of all of them where there have been differences. But it seems to me that some people who are wanting to adhere to some differences here, and there are some people who want to notice some differences and maybe exacerbate the situation because of the differences out here, it seems like that they have perpetuated a lot of hostility where there might not have been any. When I say that, this generation that seemed less at odds with each other racially than any generation we had had prior to this in the history of this country, it seems like. So I don't know who's responsible for this. I think somebody needs to probe a little further and find out, and groups on both sides need some mediators and say, somebody did something very silly. Somebody was doing some stuff very dumb. Somebody is saying some stuff and swaying people's thoughts in a very dumb way on one side or the other. And while things are not in a multi-ethnic or multi-racial utopia, things were not as bad as they had been prior to this. But anyway, after wrapping up, I want to thank you for listening. You have been listening to Shut Up and Listen. I'm your host, The Voice. I will be back again at sometime next week on a podcast. In the meantime, may everyone everywhere have a good night, good morning, wherever you are.